The question today is, what does it mean to be the elect? And this is a continuation of this question. This is the second part of that question. And as I said, that question, it depends upon, I said before, it depends upon who you ask. But what does the Bible say about the doctrine of election, or what it means to be elect? Just to review you, in case you haven't heard the first part of this question, we know that Israel was called the elect of God, but God chose them not for the rejection of the rest of the nations of the world, but He chose them that they might be a light to the rest of the world, that the rest of the nations could come in through Israel and get in on the things of God. And when God chooses you, as far as salvation is concerned, and this thing, this doctrine of election, it's to that you might be a light to the rest of the people in the world, and others see Jesus in you, and they too respond to the light they have, and through a work of the Holy Spirit, they come to the point that they're saved and find out that their elect also are chosen of God and get in on the things of God. So God never chooses anyone to the rejection of others. Some say, well, the doctrine of election is that one, God reaches out and says, any, many, mighty, mo, you to heaven and you to hell. That is not so. I reiterate, that is not so. Those who teach that have taught you, they have taken a truth and went to the extreme and gotten in a ditch. Folks, any truth carried to extremes becomes ditchism. It becomes a ditch, and it's not right. We need to find the middle of the road. Now, in politics, that's compromising, but in the things of God, that He said, get in the middle of the road in liberty and motivated by love, and follow the things of God. Find out what the Bible says. And so we read last time we dealt with this question, we read that it elect according to the foreknowledge of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. Those three things have to be involved for a person to be saved. And that means that they're elect because they're saved. Now, according to the foreknowledge of God, God knows the end before the beginning. He's already written it down in the book of Revelation. So He knows all about you. Everybody says that. And he knows what He can do with the clay as the master potter. And therefore, He's chosen you in that sense. Now, but you have to have the experience, the sanctification work of the Spirit. And that word through means by or means of. And in other words, it means it was by this influence, and of course in context, it's influence of the Spirit. In other words, the election was purposed by the Father, but was carried into effect by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And that sanctification of the Spirit refers to the setting work, a part work of the Holy Spirit that we call godly sorrow as the emotional part. And that was in 2 Corinthians 7:10 where He said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If God don't send a deep cause grief in your heart, you'll never move toward God and you'll never be saved. And it's His work. He's got to get the glory. The Bible says and also that work of reproval is the factual part, and that's another part of Holy Ghost conviction or sanctification work of the Spirit. John 16, 8, 9, 10, and 11, He says, when He's come, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. We've dealt with all of that before on other questions here on Ask the Pastor. And we would like to invite you to give us more specific questions and maybe break it down of some things you do not completely understand. I know it takes time, and God's the one who has to do that. In fact, the business, you'll never call on the name of the Lord until the work of Holy Ghost conviction has been done. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, and that is the sanctification work of the Spirit. And we know that that brings a person, that setting apart work, that looses you out of the kingdom of darkness, from the influence of Satan, the flesh, and the devil, if you please, and brings you into submission unto the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of the Holy Spirit in your life, or that you can obey the gospel. You've got to do that. Now, that word, it talks about the unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The word unto means the work of the Spirit bringing you to obedience. And then, of course, that's His work to sprinkle you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're not washed by anything except the blood. It's not the baptismal water. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away your sin. And now that word obedience, when it talks about that, that's a means submission. That means to come under authority. It means to be subject to the Lord. Didn't say be subject to the Savior. Listen, you'll never be saved till Jesus becomes your Lord. And that's not a second work of grace. That's not something that happens down the road. That's at the point of salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 53, for a group that followed Him, He said, except you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you'll have no life in you. In other words, that meant wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord. And they said, it's too hard for us. They wasn't willing to pay the price or the cost. And they walked away and walked no more with Him. You've got to come to that place, and you can't do it within yourself. It takes the work of the Holy Ghost to bring you to that place. And what's so sad, many who teach the doctrine of election and extremism, they leave out this work in a great degree. Many of them leave it plumb out. And really what they're doing is just practicing another form of easy believism, because they said, well, what God started, He'll finish, and that's true if you'll continue in the light you have. It's a conditional promise. But the thing about it, they believe that when God's awakened you, you're going to be saved no matter what. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus said, strive to enter in, for many are going to seek and not be able to enter. And that's the straight gate in Luke 13:24. The only reason a man seeks is because he's been awakened. That means the Spirit of God's already planted a seed. There's already been a conception, if you please, inside. And God's not for abortion, but man can abort himself and say, I'm not willing to pay that price. In fact, Hebrews 6:4-6 speaks about many who come to the place of being so close and tasted of the Word of God, the powers of the world to come, and yet they turned away. They'd even gone along with the Holy Ghost, and yet they were not saved, and they turned away, and they will never be saved because there'll be no more place of repentance for them. So this obedience is a must. That's part of man's responsibility. I know God's God, and I know God, the salvation's of the Lord, but man is still responsible. You need to understand that. And therefore, that point of obedience is whenever repentance is worked. Godly sorrow works repentance, and when repentance is granted, then you can act upon that. You can repent, and you've got to repent. Some people say, well, we don't have to repent today, because Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Listen, he did, but the thing about it, there was repentance already being worked in that man's life. And by the way, Acts is history, and every person, every denomination who uses the book of Acts to base their doctrine upon, they're in error, because Acts is history. Go to the epistles, establish your doctrine, then you can go to Acts, and it always abides by that. You don't have any problem with the book of Acts, and you'll find in Acts also, Paul said it when he preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you realize something, that's exactly what has to be done. You've got to repent and you've got to believe, but you can't act them. You can't do that in your own power. God's got to work repentance in you. He's got to grant it to you. He's got to give it to you, and He's got to give you faith. The Bible says in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. God's got to grant you faith. God's got to grant you repentance, and then when you have it, He's granted it to you, then you can act upon it. You can obey the gospel, you can repent, and you can believe unto salvation. At that point, at that instant that one obeys the gospel by repenting and believing, they're purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleansed from all sin, even the guilt of sin, and therefore salvation is instantaneous. It's in an instant. It's not progressive if some try to claim that I try to preach. No, I'm just trying to show you that God's got the work in you to bring you to the end of yourself. And I want to tell you, self fights so hard, it takes time for God to do that in individuals, to bring you to that place. But instantly, at the point repentance is granted and faith is granted, you can repent and you can believe. And that's obeying the gospel, and that's where salvation takes place. Yeah, I know we're talking about what does it mean to be the elect, the doctrine of election, and I understand there's many today who want to refer to that as Calvinism. And if you preach that salvation is of the Lord and it's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit, people will label you a Calvinist. Folks, I am not a Calvinist. Did you hear what I said? I am not a Calvinist. In fact, years ago when I dealt with this in the church, we had some here who came to a point I was dealing with some of this. I said, don't you ever go out and say that I said that God chooses some to hell and some to heaven. He does not. And yet some of those same ones who claimed to be super spiritual went out and told others that I said that God chose some to hell. That is not so. God didn't never chose anyone to hell. He made hell for the devil and his angels. And yet when man rejects the light that God gives him, God had to enlarge hell to house those that reject his glorious light that he's given. And folks, I am not a Calvinist. And why would you stop with a man named Calvin? I've never studied Calvin. I didn't grow up around that man. Why would you stop with somebody in the 1600s, 1700s? So I don't know when his writings were exactly. But from what I understand, that I've been told, if John Calvin were here and wanted to join our church, we wouldn't let him today because he didn't believe right about scriptural baptism. He baptized babies, even persecuted the Baptist brethren, even could have had a Baptist brethren who and a Baptist man at that time who was being burned at the stake. He could have saved his life, but he wouldn't speak up because he was against them rebaptizing those that they had baptized as babies, and that's not scriptural. He's not scriptural. Therefore, I don't stop with Calvin. I'd rather go back to the Bible, and I look at what God says in His Word. He moved on Paul. Paul gave us the epistles to establish the doctrine, and therefore, I believe we find that salvation's of the Lord. And if you want to call me a Calvinist, that's all right. If Calvin had some truth, thank the Lord for it. But why stop at Calvin? Go back and understand salvation is of the Lord. Now, many times, I know, as I think I've already said from time to time, many who practice the doctrine of election, they believe in what's called a theory of a tulip. They practice that. Total depravity, I believe that. Unconditional election, I found out here a few weeks ago that in England you don't hear that word. You hear unmerited election, and I can understand that. I have no problem with that part, but the limited atonement, I don't have any problem if you let me define it. And then they talk about the irresistible grace. I know man does resist, but there will come a time. You don't want to resist, but that's because of the work of the Holy Spirit that bringing you in to the family of God. And then, of course, the last is the perseverance of the saints. And God's saints are persevere not because of them, but because of Him. And we'll give Him the glory. Salvation is of the Lord. And the doctrine of election is according to what God said in His Word. And therefore, we don't want to abide by what man has cropped up and what man has gotten in the ditch about. And what makes me so sad today is see some who believe this so-called tulip theory in the extremism. And they're really fatalist, and yet they turn right around and practice easy believism by saying, all you've got to do is just ask Jesus into your heart there in the pew. It'll be all right. I want to tell you what, the Lord don't want to live in your heart. He wants to give you a new heart. That's not salvation, asking Jesus in your heart. Salvation is a work of the Lord that brings you to the end of yourself, where you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be one of the elect. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.